You have your Bibles, Psalm 1. We're excited about what God's doing. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the different things that are happening, our life path, the new membership. Basically, class is going to be coming back. We're excited about that. If you are, I believe we already made the announcement. Let me just reiterate, though, if you are interested in becoming a member at Life Church, you're going to want to be a part of Life Path, and that's going to be happening next week. I believe we're starting next week. So did we already announce that? We announced it, didn't we? Oh, that's me. Okay, good. So here I am announcing it. So praise God. Brother Jesse, would you stand up for me? Brother Jesse's still leading that for us. Amen. So glad. And we have a number of different teachers going to be teaching those classes. It is a four-week class and basically walks you through how to become a member. So if you've yet to do that, make sure to sign up. Today, this week, you're going to want to see Brother Jesse, Brother Ulysses, Brother Francisco, someone on the team here, and we'll get you all signed up for that. And it is good to have all of our visitors and guests. There are a number that are here today. We're so glad that you're with us. Yeah, let's give them a hand. A number of first-time guests, first-time visitors, we're glad you made it out this morning. Amen. Psalm 1, and I have a simple word today. And but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage Life Church because sometimes I just feel like that spirit of discouragement can settle in. Anybody ever felt discouraged before? Like it's not going to change, like it's not going to move forward, like nothing's going to happen, like you just keep spinning your wheels? Well, I've come to rebuke that in Jesus' name. And I want to just remind us that we're on the Lord's side, and more importantly, He's on our side. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter, or number one, I guess they don't call them chapters, you know, and but whatever, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, blessed is the man, and you could say woman, person, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, meaning what he delights in, what he loves is to get in the word of God and to listen to the preaching of God and to be a part of the people of God. That's what his delight is. Something wrong when we don't like to be around church folks, you know. All right, I'll stop there. Let's keep moving. Praise God. And in his law, he meditates day and night, meaning that it's always on his mind. It's something he's always going back to. It's something that guides his life. Can I just stop right here and tell you that if you want the blessings of God, how many want the blessings of God in your life? Then you need to live your life by this book. Well, praise God. I've started preaching already. I know I'm still reading my text, but I don't do the whole, you know, preaching thing normal. So you want the blessings of God in your life, on your family, on your children, on your marriage, on your finances, you need to get into the book. You need to follow what it says. We need to live our life according to the word of God. We need to let it plot the course of our lives, our careers, our jobs, our families, and say, God, let your word be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Praise God. It says in his law, he meditates day and night. He allows the scripture to tell him where to go. You don't tell God where you're going to go. You allow God to tell you where to go. Oftentimes we get this mixed up. You know, that's why we get ourselves into trouble, because we start writing our own story. We start telling God what we're going to do and then saying, God, would you bless it now, please? You know, I've decided this. Now, would you bless it? You got it mixed up. What you should say is, God, you lead me, and then that's where I'm going to go. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Well, whatever you want me to say, then that's what I'm going to say. And that's when the blessings of God will come in your life and will fall in your life. And I believe that God is blessing Life Church, and it's only because we're going to keep following after him. Because when we follow after God, you will be blessed. Hear me, that's a promise from the word of God. When you determine to follow after God, you will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Oh, I'm preaching right now. I hope that you're getting what I'm saying. I hope you reach out and grab that. When you determine that I'm going to live for God no matter what, no matter the circumstance, no matter what it's going to cost me, no matter how inconvenient, the value's greater than the price that I have to pay. I'm going to do what I have to do, but I'm going to keep following after God. He said that in his law, he meditates day and night. That means all day long. All day long, his mind's on the word. His mind's on the plan of God. His mind's on the will of God. God, I don't want to, I've said it before, I'll say it a million more times probably. I don't want to take one step without knowing that God's going with me. I don't want to go one mile unless I know the Spirit of God is going with me. Just like Moses said, Lord, I'm going to go if you're going to go. But if you're not going, oh, hallelujah. That's the way I feel about God. God, wherever you lead, that's where I'm going to follow. But if you're not going, I'm not moving. Someone's got to make up in their mind, wherever God leads me, wherever God leads my family, wherever God leads my career, wherever God leads my marriage, wherever God leads my children, God, this is the direction I'm going to go. But I've got to be led by your Spirit. And when we do that, the scripture says that the blessings of God, in his law, he meditates day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And then notice what it says next. And whatever he does shall prosper. I've come to tell Life Church, no matter whatever we do, I told this to the team a few weeks ago, I believe it in my spirit, and I'm going to preach it today because it's in my, God can't let me get away. Hear me. I believe for Life Church, whatever we do, whatever, wherever we go, whatever we attempt, we can't lose. Why is that? Because we are under the blessing and the favor of God. He said, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I've come to tell someone, when you're a child of God, you're going to win. Hear me. We're going to make it. We're not going under. We're going over. We're not going around. We're going through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The scripture talks about many times this notion of victory. And let me just say, I mentioned earlier, and I believe this in my spirit, I want to encourage someone today. The scripture talks about this word to be prosperous. There's a lot of different words the Bible uses for prosperity or to prosper or to succeed or to win. But the particular word, when you're looking in the Hebrew in Psalm 1, literally means to, I think it's like hazel or something like this. I don't speak Hebrew very well, I apologize. But it's something like hazel. And what it says is that it is a matter of a breaking forth. Everyone say a breaking forth. It's a breaking forth or a cutting through. It's a violent action. It's something that causes growth and something that pushes forward. It's something that breaks through the ground. And this is the context of the tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatever he does shall prosper. It's going to break forth. It's going to break free. It's going to cut through. I'm here to tell someone today, you've been running into resistance in your life, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your finances, maybe in your family. You've been experiencing resistance. Can I tell you today, because you are a child of God, because you live in the blessings of God, you're going to make it. You're going to get through it. You're going to experience a breaking forth in your life. God is going to break through in your life if, hear me, if we stay in the word and if we say, God, wherever you go, that's where I'm going to go. God will begin to break loose in our life. And I don't know about you, but I want God to break through in my prayer. Hear me. I want him to break through in my Bible study. I want to feel God like I've never felt him before. I want to have moves of God like I've never had before. Church, I'm telling you, I'm hungry for the supernatural in my life. And notice what I said, in my life. Because it's one thing if it happens at church, but the question is it happening in my life? See, we all want it to happen at church. Want a great move of God. Want to have good church. Want to have miracle signs and wonders. And that's all fine and good. We're going to see that. But the only way you can see that is if people make up their mind to have a move of God in their life. Here's the thing. Revival doesn't start at church. Revival starts at home. The move of God doesn't start at church. The move of God starts at home. The move of God starts when you and I decide we're going to have an outpouring of God's Spirit. We're going to touch God no matter what. And when two or three of us, so I feel like preaching this morning, when two or three of us on the same page and we agree, yeah, let's touch God, that's when there's power in the midst. I'm telling you, there's something about it when you make up your mind that you're going to have a move of God. And I'm hungry for a move of God in my life. And I want Life Church to get that hungry to have a move of God in your household, your family, with your children. You can call down the fire of God right there in your house. I joke a lot, but it's absolutely true. I tell people, yeah, God listens to me when I pray. But when my wife prays, the fire of God falls, you know. I think God loves me, but I think she's his favorite, you know. And you can have it when you determine in your mind, we're going to have a move of God at home. When you determine in your mind that I'm not just going to experience it on Sunday, I want to have it every single day. And let me tell you, God is ready. God is ready for a people that wants a move of God. The Bible says that if we draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. It is a promise. The closer you want to get to God, you can't get close enough. Keep reaching, keep pressing, keep going, keep praying, because God will give you all that you want. He'll keep on reaching for you. Close to God, that revival will begin to break out, will begin to prosper in your home, in whatever you do. That means when you're battling between decisions, not knowing what to do, to take this job or that job, or where should I go do this work or that work, this school or that school, you're not going to win. When you put God first, it doesn't matter. Everything else will start falling into place. And hear me. Oh, I just feel it in my spirit. It's not about a priority system that we have. Like put God at the top, and then you can put, you know, God first, then family, then you know, then your work, all this other stuff. No, no, God doesn't belong on that priority list. God's above all of that. It's all about God. My whole life is centered around God. God's not a part of my life. God is my life. And when God is my life, it doesn't matter what I do, because I'll have the blessings and the favor everywhere I go, everything that I do. It's not just a thing that we go to. It's not just a revival that we attend. No, no, no. You take revival with you. The fire just doesn't fall at church. It falls everywhere that you are. I remember one time my wife and I were boarding a plane. We're on the way. We're preaching somewhere, doing something. And there was a lady in the church that we were pastoring up at Stockton. And we were in line, and we didn't recognize. She recognized us, and she saw us. She says, oh, thank the Lord. She saw us, you know. She says, I'm just so thankful that I see you guys. I said, oh, that's great. You know, it's good to see you too. But, you know, she said, yeah, I'm just so thankful because now I know I'm safe on this plane, you know. At least as if, you know, like, you know, yeah, I can keep this thing up. No, you know. Let me tell you, and in my mind, I thought in my mind, yeah, it's okay. You're safe because we brought Jesus with us. We're not keeping the plane up, but God's got us. So if he's got us, then he's got you too. See, I don't just come to church to meet Jesus. I take Jesus everywhere I go. I just don't come to church to feel the presence of God. No, no, I brought the presence of God with me. And if you bring the presence of God with you and we get together, it's going to explode all over this city. Oh, you need to hear what I'm saying right now. Hang on a second. You don't come to church in the presence of God. It's a blessing. I said it earlier. It's a blessing to experience the presence of God. But I don't come to church to feel the presence of God. I'm expecting to feel the presence of God there. Why? Because I felt it at home. And when I came to church, I'm expecting to feel the same exact thing. And when we come together, when we have the presence of God, it means that when there's other people here that don't know Jesus, that have never felt what we feel, that have never experienced the glory of God, then they can bask in that. They can partake in the overflow of God's blessings, because you and I have made up our minds to have a move of God and to determine to change the very atmosphere, to change the climate, if you will, of the presence and power of God. What are you talking about, Brother Micah? I'm talking about having the presence of God in our lives to such a degree that it doesn't matter the decisions that you make. You are a blessed child of God. When you have the power of God in your life, every single step that you take is anointed. It's blessed. It has the favor of God. You can't lose. You're gonna make it. You're not going to fall down. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and none of his steps shall slide. That means when you walk with God, when you walk with the favor of God, you can rest assured that every step you take, that his blessings are going with you. His favor is going with you. Those prayers that you're praying, or your kids, your loved ones, you're not just praying regular prayers. No, you're praying prayers of a child of God. I told you, but this is a part of my ministry, folks. This is in my DNA. I believe this to my core. You have authority with God. When we pray, we're not just begging or asking or hoping or wishing. No, no, no. We are expecting God to move and to answer prayers. We are not just begging or hoping for it. No, no, no. We're expecting God to heal. We pray for Brother Ivan's dad. I'm not just begging or hoping, man, it would be really nice if he really got recovered and God healed. No, no. When I pray, I'm expecting God to do it. Why? Because whatever he does shall prosper. I just feel the pray right now. I want you to reach forth your hands right now. We're going to pray for Brother Trejo right now, for his dad. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command this cancer to go in Jesus' name. I pray that you would raise him up in Jesus' name. Bring complete healing, peace, comfort to his body and to Ivan right now. Let there be a peace that rests on his mind, on his spirit, by the authority of the word of God, by the power that's in the name of Jesus. Would you just pray in the Holy Ghost right now? I believe there's a spirit of revelation in people's faith. It's rising right now. Some of you can feel that energy, that supercharge of the Holy Ghost. You're beginning to plug into it right now. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Everybody in the room, everybody out here, if you know how to do it, pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yay. We're going to win. Yay. God's spirits right now. Is there anyone else in here? You need a miracle right now? Anyone else in here, you need a miracle in your body, in your family? Anybody else need a miracle? Right there, lift your hands right where you're at right now. Lift your hands. I want you to pray right now for this sister right now in the name of Jesus. God, let your miracle working power. We believe. We know there's power. We have authority in the Holy Ghost. God, I pray your miracle would happen right now in Jesus' name. Healing virtue, come right now in Jesus' name.
Oh!
I'm telling you, church, we live in the blessings of God. When you pray, you're not praying just like, as Paul said, one of the pagans that prays and not knowing hears our prayers. And not only that, we have every right to the blessings and favor of God. Hear me. Why? Because we are the children of God. When you get the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, the Bible says that you have been grafted into the people of God, to the family. You were once orphans, the scripture says, but now you have the adoption, and you don't just call him Yahweh. Now he is Father. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, say these words, our Father who art in heaven. He is your Father. You are his child. That means we have right. We have authority with God. We have the authority to use his name. We have the authority to do what we do in the name of Jesus. Oh, I just believe that. And I believe that when we pray, we should be expecting God to move. And not just that, we should be expecting miracles at work. Yes, we should. We should be expecting those promotions to happen. You should just expect to be blessed. You should expect God to work it out. You say, but I'm just so confused right now. I don't know what to do, which way to go. I'm not really sure if I should do this or do that. You need to have faith and trust and expect. You're a child of God. God called you. Bible says he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose us. You didn't decide to come to church. No, he decided to bring you to church. You're not here by accident. God has a purpose for you. There's people. There's a destiny for you. I feel destiny on some of you right now. I see great revivals breaking out. People are getting a hold of this, and it's going to start breaking out in your home, into your relatives, in your families. And there's going to be a great revival, and it's going to happen at home. It's going to happen in your house. It's going to happen at work. It's going to happen at your job. It's going to happen at your school. Because some of you are going to have a peace of God. I felt in the Holy Ghost earlier, talking about the peace of God earlier in the Spanish church. I feel it even right now that some of you, God is going to give you a peace, and you're going to become a carrier of that peace. You're going to walk into, some of you are going to schools with kids, and you're not in schools right now because of COVID and all that, but you're interacting with people that are in such turmoil, in such chaos, and it's going to be something around you that when you walk in, they're just going to feel peace. And they're not going to know what it is. They're just going to know, I want to be around this person. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on, but I feel something. And that's going to open up a door for you to say, yeah. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. You ever heard of it before? That's the power of God. Let me introduce you to this thing. Let me teach you a Bible study, and you're going to become a carrier of the blessings of God. And I'm telling you, everything that you do, every place that you go, hear me, in life, whether it's at work or school, the blessings of God are going to go with you. Why? Because you're special. You're a child of God. You're one of his. You belong to him. And those that he, and I said it before, I'm going to say it again. When you belong to God, he owns you. He protects you. He covers you. He's responsible for you. It's like our children. We're responsible for our children. We make sure that they're safe and protected and cared for. Same way for God. He makes sure that we're protected, that we're cared for, that we're sheltered. He dispatches his angels to keep charge over us. Some of us should have been dead, but we're not, because the protection of God. Some of us deserve to be lost in sin, but we're not because of the protection of God. If we only knew what God was doing behind the scenes for us and through us and all the battles that have been waging and the war that's been going on, if you could only see what was going on, God's hand has been protecting us. God's hand has been on us. You thought, well, man, I just got lucky. There's no luck with God. It's God's providence. It's God's leading. God's moving. God's guiding. And, oh, I just happened to get into this school at this time or this place. No, I don't believe in that. I believe God has you right where you are supposed to be. My God's big enough to control all of that. My God has everything in the palm of his hand. And just stop and think about that. Out of every single person on this planet, what are we at? 7 billion? Over that probably now? I don't keep up with those statistics. Out of all these people, God cares about you and God cares about me. And not only that, he cares about what we're doing. He cares about our lives. That's why he says, cast all. Everyone say all. Cast all your cares. Oh, even the little ones. Even the ones you think, oh, that's so silly. I don't want to bring that up. Oh, that's just this or that. No, no. God cares about you. God is with you. God is for you. God is on your side, and he's with us, church, and we're going to see a revival. We're going to see it break forth in our families. We're going to see it in our houses. And I don't know about you, but I want it. I want God more than anything else in this world. I want to know that he's with me. I want to have a move of God in my life. I want to wake up in the morning and I want to feel the breath of God breathing. I want to feel the power of God. I feel just like Moses. God, I don't want to go. If you're not going to go, I don't want to go. But I got to have your spirit. I got to have your power. I got to have your blessing. Why? Why do you need that? Because if I walk in the blessings of God, whatever I do, I'm going to prosper. Whatever I do, the power of God's going to break forth in my life. Whatever I do, I'm going to win. In church, when we make up in our minds that we're going to walk in the blessing and the favor of God, we can't lose. When you go out, the Bible says you're casting the bread on the water, it will return unto you. Those seeds that have been planted, those things that you're sowing into, one of these days you keep sowing into that righteousness, and from that righteousness you will reap eternal life. There is coming a day where God is going to settle the score. God is going to settle the books. And he remembers every prayer. He remembers every sacrifice. He remembers every tear that you cried when no one knew you were weeping or broken or hurting. God remembers every prayer. There's nothing that God doesn't know about. Did you hear me? There's nothing that God doesn't know about. The psalmist David said that, where can I go to hide from the presence of God? Can I ascend to the highest of heights? He's there. If I descend into the parts of hell and make my bed in hell, even there his spirit finds. There's no place in the world that you can go that God is not there. You can't whisper a prayer that he can't hear. I remember reading the scripture. I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah, the Bible says. Hannah couldn't have a child. She was being mocked and ridiculed. Forgot the other lady's name. Sorry about that. Help me out with it later. She was being mocked and ridiculed because she couldn't have children. The Bible says that she began to pray, but you know what happened with her prayers? All the Bible says was her lips were moving. Everyone thought she was crazy. You know what she was doing? She was praying quiet prayers. Praying prayers that were not even perceptible. Couldn't even hear it. Couldn't even hear what was being said. But you know what? God heard it. And there are those prayers that we've been praying as a church And as families, as dads, as moms, as grandparents, there's prayers that you thought that God, for some reason, forgot about, couldn't hear, wasn't paying attention. No, no, no. Just like Hannah, God hears that prayer. He recognizes. And there was one day that God came true, came around and made good on his promise. And that's where we have the prophet Samuel. And God gave Hannah Samuel. And I'm here to tell someone today, one of these days, if we stay faithful to God, he is going to stay faithful to us. And these seeds that have been planted, that water, that bread that's been cast on the water, it's going to return. The blessings of God. He is a faithful God. If you keep praying, keep walking, keep sitting where you're supposed to, keep doing what you're supposed to, stay a hold of God, lay a hold of God and his word and his promise, he's going to stay faithful to us. He's going to stay with us. And when God is with us, if God is with us, it doesn't really matter who's against us, because when God is with us, we're in the majority every single time. When God is with us, who can be against us? Paul said, when God is with us, we are going to win whatever we do. It's going to prosper no matter what we're fighting against, no matter what we're pushing against, no matter how dark it gets. Whatever we do, it's going to prosper. That God's on our side. Hear me. God's on our side, church. God's on your side. He's with you in your career. He's with you with your family. He's with you in your finances. You say, oh, but preacher, you haven't seen my finances. God's with you. It might look like a struggle today. God's with you. It might look like hopeless account today, like it's never going to change, like you're stuck in the mud and your tires are spinning. But God's with you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He still knows who you are. He still knows your name. My God knows everything. He can't forget anything. My God hung the stars in the sky. He's still in control. My job is to stay faithful. My God, my job is to keep on praying. My job is to keep on trusting. Oh, someone say amen. And the devil, I like preaching about the devil, but it's important here. Because the devil will like nothing more than to discourage you. What's discouraged is the opposite of courage, to take away courage from you. Courage, the Bible talks about this, the courageous ones. Talks about those that don't have courage to stand up against sin. Talks about those that don't have the courage to continue down the road. Like Paul said, I fought the good fight. There's a reason he puts it like that. Because it takes courage to keep on fighting. But the devil, his main goal is to take that courage, that strength away from you. This thing is never going to change. This thing is never going to get fixed. You're never going to be free from that addiction. You're never going to turn your life around. No one's ever going to want to marry you or be with you, or your family's never going to come back together. And he's trying to discourage you and keep you down. But you got to understand, that's nothing but a lie from hell. When you make up your mind to change, when you make up your mind, I'm going to stick in the church. I'm going to stick with it. There's nothing the devil can do to someone that's got a made up mind. Why? Because whatever he does shall prosper. When God is on our side, it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the enemy does. God is for us. And if God is for us, we can do anything. I'm trying to tell someone, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Keep on pressing. Keep on praying. Keep on going to church. Keep on pushing, because you're on the cusp of a revival in your life. That's God breaking free, and it's not coming down the road. Hear me. It's not around the corner or around the bend. Well, I know I'm not one of those preachers that talks about, oh yeah, one of these days we'll experience the move of God. One of these days we'll have revival. One of these, no friend, the day is here right now. You can have it today, right now. But you got to make up your mind that whatever I got to do, I'm going to touch God. The devil like nothing more than to separate you from everybody else having a move of God. Isolate you. Divide you. Make you think somehow you're different. You're weird. Everyone else is touching God, but you, this isn't for you because, you know, you did that thing that one time. He's a liar. You look in your Bible, all up and down your Bible. You got murderers. You got liars, manipulators, pornographers, adulterers, all throughout your Bible that's there. Let's look at David. David fit the bill of all those things. Cheated on his wife with another man's wife. Lied about it. Tried to cover it up. Had the man killed, Uriah, you remember that? He's a murderer. Don't tell me that you're too far from God, because the moment the prophet Nathan walked into the courts of David, King David, by the way, could have had the prophet killed, but you got to be careful killing the prophet. I know. Be careful killing the prophet. The prophet walks in to King David's court, tells him a story, a parable. The righteous indignation rises up in David. But of course it's hypocrisy, because it's easy to judge everybody else when you see everyone else doing wrong. But it's hard to look inside and see, oh yeah, well, I guess I got some issues too. I could preach on that for a while. And the prophet Nathan, after he got done with the parable, he took that finger and said, "Thou art the man." David had already pronounced judgment. He said, whoever that man is, he should die. Nathan said, "You're right. Thou art the man. You should die." And the king had every right, according to his kingdom, to take that old prophet out and put him to death, take off his head. But he didn't. You know what David did? The Bible says that David fell down on his face and begged God for forgiveness. When you read in the book of Psalms, it's Psalm number 51. This is the prayer that David wrote after this event. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." What does this mean? That David knew, even though he was an adulterer, a murderer, a liar, there was still a way back for David. There was still a way back for David. And I'm going to tell someone today, you think you've gone too far, messed up too much, have been too inconsistent. No, no, no. There's still a way back. And today it's in the form of an aisle between some chairs that leads to an altar that says, if you're ready to get right with God, he's ready to have you get right. If you're ready to get closer to God, he's ready to get closer to you. God can turn your marriage around. God can change your addiction problem. I believe that. I believe in programs and there's all that. I believe in that stuff. But I also believe that God can do it too. I believe that God works through programs. God works through systems. God works through people, through counseling. God works through all of that. But I've also seen times when a man or a woman finds a place at an altar and they make up their mind and God does a work in their body. He can change the chemistry. He can remove those neurons. He can remove those addictions. God can do it. You say, oh, that's crazy stuff. That's anti-science. Hey, that's God. God can do anything. He created those neurons. He created your body. He created your mind. My God can do it. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell someone today, there's a way back home. I just feel in the spirit, some of you have been sliding away from God, drifting from God. God is reaching for you today. Some of us have been getting discouraged in our spirit. Things aren't going to change. And I've been forgotten about. No one even talks to me when I go to church anymore. And just got discouraged. You're getting discouraged. You're allowing the devil to take away that faith, to divide you from your brothers and sisters in the family. I'm here this morning to encourage you. Stay faithful. I'm here this morning to preach faith. I don't know if you realize it yet, but I'm a faith preacher. I believe that when we believe in God and we trust in God, miracles will start to happen. I just believe that God will always meet us at our point of faith. That if we have faith enough to believe it, He's got the power to do it. I believe God can do anything. I know that sounds cliche, right? Because you've heard it a lot. But I want you to know, my wife and I were just talking this week. She said it the other day. I just believe God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. I'm here to tell you today, Life Church, that if we make up our minds, we make up our minds to have a move of God at home, in our own lives, in our own life, we're going to see the miraculous start breaking loose. It's going to come in many different forms. It's going to come in forms of raises at work. It's going to come in forms of you getting bids at your job. It's going to come in promotions, but it's also going to come in marriages getting back together. Kids coming home. Backslidden children, moms being restored. True revival breaking out, and it's going to start right where you live. How many believe that today? If you believe it, go ahead and lift your hands right now. Lift your hands, close your eyes, lift your voice. And I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and say, God, I want to see it in my life. I want to see it in my family. I want to see it in my marriage. I want to see it in my job. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all stand in church today. As I was writing, praying, and seeking God about today, the scripture just kept coming to mind. John chapter 9, verse 4. And this is where I'll close today. I feel like God's reaching for some people today, folks. I really do. If you're here and you haven't been living right, you need to get right today. I'm begging you to get right today. Don't go another day. Don't go another week. Get right today. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to get the Holy Ghost today. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You need to be speaking in other tongues. You can get it today. If you haven't been baptized, don't put off it. Don't put it off another week. Get baptized today. We got it already. It's here. We can do it right now. We can do it today. Get it done today. I'm telling you. God's reaching for some people today. You haven't been living right. You need to get it right today. If you've been drifting away from God, you need to decide from now on it's going to be different. I was preparing and praying and seeking God. And this verse kept coming to me. John chapter 9. Jesus said, I must work. Verse 4, sorry. I must work the works of Him who sent me. In these words, while it is day. Then he said, the night is coming when no one can work. And for some reason, these words just kept jumping out to me. The night is coming. The night is coming. We're running out of time. I said, we're running out of time. We are closer today to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. I've been hearing it since I was a kid. Preachers would get up. My pastor would get up. Jesus is coming. Get ready. Next year, nope. Preach the same thing. Jesus is coming. Get ready. Brother Chris, they've been preaching that my whole life. Probably been preaching your whole life too. Can I tell you? We're closer today than we've ever been before. We have to work while it's day, because the night is coming when no one's going to be able to work anymore. The night's coming. When God comes, there's not going to be any more time to hear another preaching about, hey, come on, get a hold of God. Hey, come on, keep praying. All that's going to be gone. There's not going to be any more time for us to preach. Hey, get right today. Don't miss this service. Don't miss your opportunity. That time's going to be gone. You need to work while it's day. You need to get a hold of God now while it's day. Don't miss it. Don't miss this opportunity. Get a hold. Have that move of God now while we have time. There's no better time than right here and right now. If you got to make it right today. If you got bitterness in your heart, take care of it today. You got unforgiveness in your spirit, take care of it today. You got something going on in your life, leave it at the altar today. Do whatever you got to do, but get right with God. Hear me. Get right with God. Right now, every eye closed. Father, we absolutely love you. We love your word. We're so thankful for your presence today. God, I pray that your spirit would overwhelm us right now, that it would minister to us. God, every hungry soul that is here, every hungry heart that is desiring change of mind and spirit and heart, God, that you would do a quick work today. God, I pray that you'd move on us, convict us, press us, draw us, pull us, move us toward you, God. Lord, we're hungry for a move of your spirit. We're hungry for a move of your presence. I pray, God, that you would show us the way. Give us, oh God, our desires, oh God. Move on us, Lord. Let your spirit overwhelm us, God. We're with you, Jesus. Wherever you go, that's where we're going to go. Whatever you do, that's what we're going to do, God. We're following after you. If you're here today, I want you to come and pray. We opened the altar back up a few weeks ago. We need people praying in the altar. We have a prayer team. I want you to come. Get ready to pray right now. If you need prayer today, if you're ready to make a change, or you need God to touch you, why don't you come today? That's it. Why don't you come right now? Maybe it's your first time in an apostolic church and you're not really sure what to do. Why don't you come? We have a prayer team here. We'll help you. We got to make sure the masks are on and be socially distanced. Would you come? Would you bring your family? Why don't you bring your husband, your wife with you? Let's come today. I believe God is ready to pour out on families, on houses, on homes today, right now. Let's sing. Let's worship. Saints, would you come? Why don't you bring your husband or wife with you right now? Make sure you got your mask on. Be socially distant. But why don't you come to the front right now? Let's all pray together. God bless you. That's it. When you come down, just go ahead and lift your hands. Lift your if you're out there in the audience, I want you just to pray. Be prayerful there, wherever you're at. But if you're up here in the front, find someone to pray with. It'll be socially distant and safe. But we want a move of God. We want a move of God in our families. We want a move of God in our homes. We want a move of God in our lives. Let's worship. Let's worship. This is how I fight my battles.
Surrounded. here, but I'm surrounded by you.
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.